be called Amendment 3 again, and it is asking the voters to reconsider this abortion issue. And it's not just a reconsideration of abortion in general, but it's because the old Amendment 3 from 2024 was very, very vague and wide open. It did a lot of things that maybe even some people didn't realize or would argue that it didn't do, but it really did. So we have basically abortion on demand now. We have a lot of things in there like no liability for providers, healthcare providers who maybe are negligent or make a mistake or something, whether it's an abortion or, you know, any female reproductive procedure or whatever. If they do something wrong, there's no liability for them right now. They can just do whatever. And it also didn't really clearly define who that healthcare provider had to be. It could be anybody. I mean, it was very wide open. There were also some other things in there that were very vague. So we have cleaned that up and added some definitions so that we are a little clearer on what we're actually doing in that. And also, there are exceptions in there for abortion, for rape, incest, and fetal anomalies.
Yeah.
Now, as a pro-life person, I don't like that part. I'll just be very honest. But that is in there. And also, then the providers would not get immunity if they do make a mistake. It's definitely worth reading and looking into and, you know, considering which side you're going to be on this thing. But that's going to be back on your ballot come November. And then also IP reform. And that's initiative petition reform. And we are, as you know, a constitutional republic and a representative form of government. But whenever it comes to changing our state constitution, we have a very soft underbelly. And it only takes 50% plus one of the vote in the state currently. And so we have a lot of outside people that want to come in and put some crazy things on our ballot, and they spend a lot of money. They'll funnel this money down to where it looks like it's in-state contributions, but if you trace it back, it is absolutely not. Sometimes it's even out of the country, but definitely out of state.
It's big issues, it seems like, across the U.S., you know, lots of outside influence.
Yes, and it's not just Missouri by any stretch. So anyway, we're trying to make it a little bit harder process to be able to change our constitution. And I frankly think that's very reasonable. I think that if we get more people on board to change something in our constitution, then we're going to be more agreeable as a society, hopefully. Just raising that threshold is important. And so we are actually going to be putting something on the ballot that is, if it's a citizen-led initiative petition where they would go and get signatures and try to get something on the ballot, that it would have to pass with not only just 50% plus one in the state, but that it would have to pass in each of the congressional districts as well.
Yeah.
So there are 8 congressional districts in Missouri. And I don't think that this is unreasonable because, like I said, it gives you more consensus across the state. If you're going to change the most important document in your state, you have to have more people on board. And, you know, for us sitting down here in one of the 2 most rural districts in the state, congressional district wise, it actually gives the rural districts a voice a little bit in that, where right now we don't have that. We are getting major changes to our Missouri Constitution just out of Kansas City, St. Louis, Columbia, and Springfield. And literally it is a handful of counties, sometimes only 6 or 7 counties, are saying what is going to happen for the entire state.
Right.
And what that constitution is going to read like. So this would change that procedure. And so honestly, this isn't exactly the IP reform I wanted, but it's better than where we are.
Yeah.
So I think that this is very important. And honestly, you know, I mean, everybody knows I'm on the right side of the aisle, but if it were flip-flopped and, you know, we were bringing the stuff, trying to put it in the Constitution, and the other side didn't, they would think this was a great idea too. So everybody needs to think about it from just a, you know, looking at our whole government.
Right.
And say, what is fair? What is right? Do we need to hear from everybody across the state in more of a representative form like we were meant to be? You know, or do we want to keep it with this basically mob rule?
Right.
Where it's 50% plus one.
Well, I think that's a really good point that you're making too, because if you make it to where only like a few towns within the entirety of the state can make the majority of the rules, then all it really takes is, I mean, hypothetical here, but like one person with a lot of money from outside the area to plug a good marketing campaign into a couple towns in Missouri, and then you might be able to just change something to be whatever you wanted it to. And, right. And that's not helpful.
Right. And honestly, oftentimes, and I'll just use the Amendment 3 from 2024 as an example, there were things in that advertising that were very deceptive. There were 30-some million dollars spent for the yes on Amendment 3 back then. And there was only one point something, I think, spent on no. So they by far had the upper hand on advertising, and there were some things in there that just were not true. So, you know, we just need to clean things up and try to go forward with a way that we can get a little more consensus and a little more of hearing the rural voices as well as the urban. And honestly, there are other states who are have made IP changes, and there are a lot of states who don't even have the opportunity for citizens to bring something to the ballot. They leave it solely to the legislature. So, you know, we're kind of needing some improvements, and hopefully we'll get that come November. So if you have questions about that, you are welcome to reach out to my office, because we can kind of maybe give you some materials that you can read over. Yeah, something.
Dialogue's always good.
Yeah, so we want to keep people informed on that. And that's really the only things that are going to come to the ballot as of right now. Now, there may be some more on the horizon here in this session that could potentially make it to the ballot in November as well. But we can talk about those in the next segment. So,
all right, we better be getting to a word from our sponsors here. We'll get into the second block of the Request Hour here in just a few moments. We'll hear Alan Jackson with Sissy's Song. After that, we got The Man of Constant Sorrow.